Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Alder from AB Motorsports, and you're listening to the Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the January 28th edition of Speedway Digest, Thursday Night Thunder, episode 65. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will be previewing the Rolex 24 Daytona, as well as delving into some of the controversies surrounding the recent NASCAR rule changes, and talking motocross with the 2014 Women's Motocross Champion. With practice and qualifying for the round-the-clock race taking place earlier today at the World Center of Racing, all eyes are focused once again on Daytona National Speedway as the racing season kicks into high gear. 54 cars and more than 200 drivers will be competing this weekend for fame, glory, and a Rolex watch. The qualifying was rather intense earlier this afternoon, and it was really something to see. If any of you watched the qualifying on IMSA.TV or on the FansChoice.TV earlier today, you'll notice that the weather in Florida, and normally sunny Florida, was a little less than sunny today. It was, it was downright stormy, really nasty, rainy weather. It seems to have cleared up here now in the Palm Beaches, and hopefully it'll be clearing in Daytona sometime later this evening. Because personally, I'm not looking forward to going to a wet racetrack on Saturday morning. I've been there enough times, and I know that it's not a very fun place to be in the rain. So hopefully it's nice and warm. I know the warmth is something that it might not be. It's scheduled to be in the low 60s as a high, and in the 40s as a low on Saturday morning. And it'll be a teeny bit warmer on Sunday, but it should be good racing, and hopefully the weather's nice. What's the weather like out where you are?
It's cold. It's been a little more sunny lately, but for the most part, it's been really rainy and foggy and just really cold.
I'm pretty sure the fog will be an issue there in Daytona this weekend as well. It has been the past few weeks. And I know that sometimes when it gets really intense with the fog in the middle of the night, they actually stop the race. So we'll have to see. There's a lot of people there who spend the night at the track and all that. That's a little too hardcore for me. I'm going to be in a nice warm hotel room on Daytona Beach this weekend for the nighttime. But I'll be there at the track, probably arriving 9:30 or thereabouts on Saturday morning, and we'll be staying till probably like 5:30, something like that. And then we'll leave for dinner, check in the hotel and all that happy stuff. Be back for the evening sessions. Probably leaving 10 or 11, something like that, depending on when it gets really cold. And then we'll be back on Sunday for the end of the event. Race scheduled to get over roughly 2:30 in the afternoon. So should be pretty good.
Yeah. Are you excited?
I'm getting there. I'm all packed. I'm ready to go. I think that it'll be quite the race. It was as I stated earlier, the qualifying session was insane. And I don't like the way that the IMSA has their grid starting on Saturday for the race, because for the first time in several years, the GT cars, more specifically the 911 GT Le Mans car, the Porsche driven by Nick Candy during the qualifying, was the fastest car overall. And the prototype car, which was the ninth fastest, the Nissan driven by Mikhail Aleshin, will be crossing the finish line, or the start finish line there first on Saturday, because they have the prototypes cross first, then the prototype challenge, then the GT Le Mans, and then GT Daytona. And if you look at the qualifying order, which is posted on FansChoice.tv as well as on the IMSA website, you'll notice that there really isn't much order in the qualifying order whatsoever. The Porsches are up in the front, to 911 and 912. As I stated, the first prototype isn't the ninth on the grid. And the one after that is another one of the GT cars. So it's pretty evenly evenly spaced, and I know that they like to do it for continuity and all that when they cross the track, and they start the race. They have all the different classes in their own little sections. But I think it would be more interesting if they actually had them cross the starting line in the order in which they qualified. That would it would definitely add some drama to the beginning of the race, because the prototypes, at least overall, are a lot faster than the GT cars. It would cause a lot of dicing and passing in the first few laps. There'll probably be a lot of that anyway, because a good number of the cars, the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the last 6 cars didn't even make a qualifying attempt because the weather was just too nasty there and they didn't want to ruin the car. So it'll be quite the start anyway.
Why is there like qualifying format like that?
Good question. You'd have to ask him. So. I know in the past there's been a wide variety of different formats that they've tried, and pretty much they do like a group qualifying where they have all the cars on the track at once, which is awesome and something that NASCAR has attempted in the past few years, and they're not able to figure out for whatever reason. And they just sort of take the fastest time from the entire session. So it's pretty cool how they do that. And they do have different qualifying for the P cars and the PC cars and the Daytona prototype and the Daytona GT Daytonas and the GT Le Mans. But when they're all racing on the track at the same time, and if you're going to combine their starting times and their grid position like that, why can't they just cross as they're qualified? That would be my little take on that. I think that would be a good idea. I've had numerous people on Twitter shoot me down for that idea this afternoon, but I think that it would be a much better and much more fair way of starting the race if they were able to do that.
Yeah, I find it interesting how, like, all these different racing series, I don't know, they almost, like, have to, like, set themselves apart from, like, you know, NASCAR and everything, and it's kind of interesting how different they all are.
Well, last week we talked to Sean Ray Hall and Catherine Legg. They didn't even go out to qualify today because the Delta Wing is it's a lightweight car compared to the others, and it doesn't run very well in the rain. So they didn't want to take the risk of going and qualifying. So if they went from the times that are as they're listed on the official grid thing here, they'd be starting in 50th position. But as they cross, I think they're probably going to be crossing starting the race in like 13th, I think. If I'm reading this right, yeah, I think it'll be like 13th. It'll be the back of the prototype field, even though they didn't take a time for qualifying. So it's just sort of an odd way of doing things, I think. A little bit different.
Interesting, though.
And hopefully we'll be able to ask our first guest that question in about 2 or 3 minutes, as long as he calls in this evening. I know they do have a night practice tonight. I didn't see any information that was rained out, although it might have been. Yes, the weather was it was nasty up there. It was about the same as it was here yesterday, and I suppose it was here earlier today, because again there was another tornado touchdown in our area today, but it didn't do any major damage. It just sort of it scared some people in the church pretty good. It knocked some equipment around and that sort of thing. The one yesterday was the one that was really intense, where they actually lifted up a semi and lifted a car that was going south on the Florida Turnpike and dumped it down in the northbound lane. So we're having some pretty nasty weather. But as I said, hope it's supposed to clear up later this evening. It's already a lot better outside than it was all day today. And it's going to be a nice weekend, a great weekend for racing, and it'll be a lot better there in Daytona for their practice that they're going to have tomorrow afternoon as well. So who's your pick to win the Rolex 24 Daytona?
You know, I honestly, I don't know. I'm still kind of attempting to learn more stuff about it. So, I'm still a noob, as some people would say. But
I'm not sure who I'd pick for the winner. I'd probably, because there's all sorts of different trains of thought as to who might end up winning the race this year. There's a few people who think that the GTs might end up winning again this year because the conditions are different, the cars are all, the speeds are all different. But I'm pretty sure this one's be another year where the prototypes dominate. I don't think the Ford prototypes, the ones that are run by Ganassi Racing, will do as well as some people are saying. Because they were late entry, first of all, and they haven't had quite as much work done in the off season on them as other cars have. The Delta Wing is really, really fast, but the question is whether they can remain really fast throughout the entire 24-hour race. It's all about pacing yourself and all that, but you never know. The Mazdas might be a good people to check on with Tristan Nunez and all those guys. They have their new power plants this year, and they were really fast in practice. They were really, really fast there at the Rolex before the Rolex 24. They were in the lead most of the day there. So they'd be a good shot, if not for the win, then at least for the podium for the race. And of course, there's teams like the Michael Shank Racing, which has always a really good shot at winning there. They've got a winning history with AJ Allmendinger as one of their primary drivers. So that would be a pretty safe bet as well. But honestly, I have no clue who's going to be the winner this year. It'll be the sort of thing where you might not know until the morning on Sunday who's going to be the car that wins. You might not even know until the afternoon on Sunday. Or it could be like it normally is, and one of the cars will just run away with it the whole time. Hard to tell. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it is. I'm also looking forward to seeing how the new Daytona Rising project looks. It's a really impressive looking thing from standing in the infield looking at it. It was pretty cool looking at last year when it was only a little less than half done. But now that the entire project is done, it'll be a good place to see the race, especially if you're way up on the top and you can see the whole track and look out over the ocean and all that. So if you're in the Daytona area, there are still tickets available for the Rolex 24 Daytona. So check out the DaytonaNationalSpeedway.com or just head out to the track tomorrow or anytime over the next couple of days. The tickets are available at the box office there. I know that the grandstand seats are a heck of a lot cheaper than the infield seats. So if you're just interested in hanging out there for a little while and watching the cars from the brand new Daytona Rising Stadium there, that might be a good way to spend a couple hours on Saturday and Sunday. And of course, there's always the crazy people who sit up there in the grandstands all night long and dress like they're getting ready to go on an Arctic expedition. But as I said, there's different ways of enjoying the race. And personally, I think that the best way is to get away from the track at least a couple times. That way you have a better appreciation for the race itself. And it gives you a little bit different perspective as to how long the race actually is.
Yeah. I don't know if I could watch a race for 24 hours. Like, just sit there and watch it for 24 hours.
Well, you don't really sit there. You wander around. The Daytona National Speedway is 2.5 miles. So you've got the whole thing that you can wander around and look at. You can go down the down pit road and a bunch of different places, and it'll be a quite the thing to see.
Well, if it's like 2.5 miles, then I am definitely not going to wander around.
Now, it looks like we're going to end up calling Kent and Coke on his cell phone. So give us a couple seconds, and we'll be on the air with our next with our first guest this evening. And that would have been bad if I would have called the wrong number. There we go.
Hello.
Hello, this is Evan Sinclair with Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. How are you doing this evening?
It's going good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Did you enjoy the beautiful beautiful Florida weather today?
It wasn't exactly beautiful, but it was definitely wet. But you know, some people might think that's beautiful. So,
first off, can you tell us a little bit more about the Mazda Road to 24 program that you're involved in?
Well, the Mazda Road to the 24 program is a ladder system that enables drivers that are maybe not necessarily the most taxed, you know, that don't have a lot of money to, you know, make their way up to, they start you off in amateur racing, and then you make your way to the pinnacle of motorsport by winning your way to the top. So they pay scholarship money for each championship you win in their Mazda Road to the 24, which is a well-run ladder system. So you start Skip Barber or Spagnatos, and then go on to the Mazda or Global Mazda MX-5 Cup, and then from there to the Continental Tire Series or the Prototype Lights category, and then on to Daytona. So it's a pretty cool little system.
What are you most looking forward to during the Rolex 24?
Yeah, it's a pretty, you know, general question. There's so many answers that can be given. What I'm looking forward to most would, you know, probably be getting a watch at the end of it if we win. So that's kind of my goal, if that's a possibility, which it is. I think we have a shot at doing that. So the biggest thing, though, aside from that, would be, you know, just being here. It's a cool opportunity, and you kind of have to appreciate the opportunity that you've been given. So I'm pretty happy to be here.
How does the PC car you'll be competing in this weekend compare to the Cooper Tire Prototype Lights car that you won last year's championship in?
How does the car compare?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking? They're two pretty much completely different cars. The Lights car is based off of a Formula car chassis with some bodywork hung off the edge of it, and then this is a kind of a proper prototype chassis that used to be an LMP2 chassis. So they're two different ways of getting about it, and one is a bit heavier, which is the LMPC car, and the Lights car is a bit lighter, so it's more nimble with, you know, relatively pretty dang good downforce. The Lights car is actually faster around a corner than the LMPC car is, just because it's so light, produces so much downforce, whereas the PC car, you know, gets going in a straight line pretty good. Then once you get to the corner, you have to slow it down a little bit more, but the carbon brakes are, you know, slow the car down so good that, you know, you have to keep your eyes in your head, because they might fly out because the thing stops so good, so. It's a pretty cool and interesting car to drive.
What's your opinion of the Daytona Rising project? What's your opinion of the Daytona Rising project, the new stadium there that they built at Daytona to replace the grandstands and all that?
I don't have much of a comment on that, other than it's cool to see that they're expanding and hoping to get more, you know, fans involved and try to get, you know, the fan base for the sport wider. So it's definitely cool. I mean, there's not much else I can say other than it looks awesome. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It's huge.
We know that you have a winning percentage of just shy of 75%. If you manage to win the Rolex 24, do you think Gumby and Pokey will be making an appearance in Victory Lane?
You never know. that would be pretty cool. But you know, I'm gonna have to fly them out, and that's something we don't have the money for. So maybe not.
Well, let me throw it out to Michael Mullally there in Ifrita, Washington. She has a couple of questions for you as well.
Cool.
Who is one person that you have really looked up to as a race car driver?
Someone that I've looked up to as a race car driver was Justin Wilson. Justin Wilson was kind of one of my heroes growing up, and still is, you know, even though that he has passed. But, you know, the good thing was he was able to save others' lives with his passing. So he was able to donate his organs to be able to, you know, give life to other people. So yeah, he's one of the guys that I really look up to.
Where do you see yourself, like your racing career, 5 or 10 years from now?
That's the question, isn't it? You never know. It can go somewhere or it couldn't. But you know, I would definitely like to see myself in a factory drive for a manufacturer. So that's kind of my goal, and hopefully we can make it there.
And how do you go about finding sponsors?
That's also a difficult question. But the good thing is the Mazda Road to the 24, you know, helps with that. So if you win the championship, they give you the money to go up to the next level. But the thing is, it's not all about driving. And they are the ones that teach you how to go about finding sponsors. So it's a good way for you to learn, you know, how to get sponsors, but it also helps you because the fact you don't actually need to, you know, you don't need to find sponsors to be able to, you know, to actually race. But the thing is, the Mazda money doesn't last forever, so it gives you the opportunity to gain those relationships to then, once you're off the leash, so to say, you know, make your way and find sponsors if you need.
What advice would you give to up-and-coming drivers looking to get their start in racing as well?
It's a difficult question, but, you know, there's so many ways you can go about doing that. But the biggest thing is to have the right attitude. You know, if you go into it thinking you just got to be the fastest person out there, there's more to it than that. You have to be able to be, obviously, you have to be one of the faster guys out there, but you have to be consistent, you have to not wreck the car, and then off the track, you have to be the total package. You have to, that's the quote-unquote total package. That package is, you know, you have to be able to speak to the media, you have to, you know, speak with sponsors, you have to, you know, the list goes on and on and on. You know, it's difficult. So, but yeah, you just got to keep your head down and also you persevere.
What was it like to run around the track in the rain today, or did you do much running at all?
Insane. That's what it was. It was crazy. You know, it's so wet and dark and a bunch of other things. It was just, you know, it was not fun. That's for sure. We shouldn't have been running in this type of weather on this track. So it was, yeah, diabolical.
Do you think it'll help you later in the season if there's any other monsoonal moisture that goes with any of the other tracks?
You know, it could, but this place is so unique in the fact that it's a roval, and the infield is, you know, different kind of pavement than the the oval, the infield versus the oval, it's a different pavement than you would get at any other track. You know, it's a unique experience. But yeah, it definitely doesn't hurt.
Well, we wish you lots of luck this weekend, and hopefully you do really well in the Rolex 24 Daytona.
Thank you very much. Hopefully we'll have a watch at the end of it.
Hopefully, and thank you for being on the program.
Thank you very much, Adam. Have a good one.
Switching gears from the world of four-wheeled racing to two-wheels, we'd like to welcome our next guest.
Marissa Markelin is 22 years old and has been racing professionally. Oh my gosh, really? My bad. Had a mini freak out session right there. Hold on, sorry. I'm so ridiculous. Anyways, since the age of 16, she has consistently placed top three at Loretta Lynn's over the years and is the 2014 WMX champion and 2015 runner-up.
When she isn't racing, she puts a lot of effort into her schoolwork. She's a business major at Southern New Hampshire University. In her downtime, she likes to spend time reading and hanging out with family. We'd now like to welcome Marissa Markelin to the program. Hello, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. How are you?
Good.
First off, how'd you get involved in racing?
I grew up watching my dad race, or, you know, just ride around the local track for as long as I can remember, and I think when I was around two or three, my mom finally let him ride around the pits with me, you know, on right up in front of him, you know, holding on to the handlebars. And he told me when I was 3 years old, if I can ride a pedal bike without training wheels, you know, when that day came, he'd get me a bike. And my mom said, you know, she came home one day and I was trying to take the training wheels off my pedal bike. And he got me a PW50. I think I was 4 years old when I started riding. And it's just been history ever since.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the WMX championship?
WMX, I had my first full pro steer season in 2010. And since 2010, it's been a little bit of a bumpy ride. We've had really strong seasons. My rookie year, we raced with the pro men. And then we had a Triple Crown series after that. But this upcoming year for 2016, we're going to have a 10-round series at various pro men's pro races and top amateur races as well. So it should be a pretty busy, you know, fun-filled season with a lot of rounds. Like I said, there's 10 rounds at a lot of fun tracks. So it should be really interesting this year.
You said before that you'd like to compete in the X Games. Any news on that?
Yeah, that was, you know, a couple years ago was something I really took an interest in. You know, but I think the past few years, the support for the X Games, you know, with the women involved, has kind of dwindled away. There are a few girls that have been trying to race arena cross, which is essentially what the X Games were for the women. It was more of a supercross style event. So there's more girls that are trying to break into that. I don't think we race in the X Games anymore, to be honest. But I've really just focused my, you know, the past few years of racing solely on that, you know, just training to do all the outdoor races. It suits my style more. Not to say that, if the opportunity was ever given, I definitely wouldn't turn it down, but you know, as of right now, I think I've strongly turned my focus to primarily outdoors. It's what I excel best at, I think, and it's what I enjoy. So,
how do you balance school and racing?
I don't know if I'd call it balancing. Sometimes it's definitely tough, especially traveling, you know, for a few months out of the year. I'm actually leaving Monday to go down to Georgia to train, so I take all my classes online at Southern New Hampshire University, and you know, it's just, you have to, I had to teach myself, you know, how to utilize my time wisely, you know, instead of going to hang out with friends you know, I had to realize that my school, you know, my schoolwork was important, my training was important. So I usually get up in the morning during the season. I'll work out, I'll ride probably till 3 or 4 in the afternoon, have a little workout after that, and then before and after dinner, just sit down, you know, and focus. Even if I'm up till 10, 11 o'clock at night, you know, I really just try and focus and get all my work done, because I know, you know, as much as I'd love to race forever, I know it's not, you know, not going to happen. So I'm trying to give myself a nice backup plan.
What's your ultimate racing goal?
My ultimate racing goal would just obviously be to just be the best racer, you know, on and off the track. You know, with women's motocross growing, there's a lot of younger girls that are coming up and just younger athletes, and I want to be a role model to all of them, not just, you know, be a fast rider off the track or on the track. You know, I want to be someone that all athletes look up to off the track as well. But ultimately, you know, just like anybody else, I'd love to win as many championships as possible. But, you know, I just want to enjoy the time that I have doing it and take it as far as I can.
I'd now like to throw it out to my co-host, Michael Mullally, who has a couple of questions for you as well.
Awesome.
Have you ever did any racing in, like, snow and stuff?
No, no racing in snow, but being from Connecticut, you know, we do have some pretty crazy winters. So that's not to say I haven't gotten on the track, you know, my local track that I grew up racing at with some snow on it, you know, and just trying to make way. There's some trails by my house that, you know, everybody rides on in the snow, and I remember my dad would take me to those when I was younger. But as far as racing in it, no. I like to stay on the dirt.
Who is your biggest inspiration, someone that you really looked up to when you started racing?
Definitely my dad. You know, he was the one that got me on the bike. Both my parents, you know, pushed me to excel at racing. You know, they both pushed me, like I said, on and off the track. My dad's there with me week in and week out at the track, you know. So definitely as a motivator, you know, a supporter, my parents for sure, and my dad for being there every single weekend.
If you weren't racing, what career path do you think you would have taken? If racing didn't work out as well?
Well, in middle school, rather, I was a big basketball fan. But those dreams aside, I've always wanted to be a teacher, and that's what I originally went to school for. I went to school to pursue an English degree in hopes of being an English teacher in in the high school atmosphere or professor of some sort. So I think that's where I would be. I'm still kind of, I have that in the back of my mind. I'm working towards a business degree now, but I know that somewhere down the line, I'd really like to be at a university or school teaching, doing something of that sort.
What is the hardest part about, like, for you, like, racing in general? Like, what is the toughest part about it?
Probably the mental aspect of it. It's, you know, physically it takes a toll on you, but mentally, you know, just from getting yourself to wake up, you know, earlier than everybody else in the morning to get in that little workout, you know, before whatever you have planned for the day, you know, going into a race and getting beat, you know, and I travel the country driving. So if I get beat on a weekend, I have, you know, a trip from California to the Connecticut thinking about how I got beat this weekend. So definitely the mental aspect is the toughest part, you know, but that's all part of being a good athlete. You have to train yourself, you know, what you should harp on and what you shouldn't, and, you know, the things that you need to get over in order to overcome, you know, whatever happened that weekend in order to progress and do better the next weekend.
Can you do, like, any crazy tricks or anything?
No. I get asked that question every time somebody hears that you ride a dirt bike. The first thing they ask is, can you do backflips? No, I mean,
And to be honest, I'm not. I used to love jumping, and I think as I've gotten older, I've taken a step back. I always tend to think twice before I hit a jump. But I think the biggest trick you'll get from me is like a no footer. That's about it.
I know in the past, racers who've started out in motocross, like Jeff Ward, and to a lesser extent, Ricky Carmichael, had the had NASCAR aspirations as well. Do you have any plans in the future, if that came about, to try something like that?
I've honestly never thought about it. Growing up, I didn't watch a lot of NASCAR. One of my best friends, Dylan, watched it all the time. But I definitely wouldn't be opposed to hopping into a car and testing it out.
And what's your next big event on the W? What's the next event of the MX Championship schedule?
The next race for the WMX will be at Daytona Speedway. I think it's March 6th and 7th. And it is actually the first round for our 10 race series.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'd like to wish you lots of luck this year, and hopefully you're able to be, since you were second place last year in the championship, first place the previous year, maybe you're able to get first place again this year.
Yeah, that's definitely the plan. The plan's always to take back the number one. So, I'm going to go in with confidence and just, you know, work hard the next month and a half until the race. And, you know, hopefully I come out a champion in 2016.
Well, thank you very much and good luck this season.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Once again, that was Marissa Martelon, the 2014 WMX Championships champion and the 2015 runner-up. We'd also like to thank Kenton Koch, who was the 2015 Cooper Tire Prototype Lite powered by Mazda series champion, and he'll be competing this weekend at the Rolex 24 in Daytona. So you mentioned before that you're going to be heading out to some big event there in Washington, the Race Wars. Have you heard anything more about that? I know you had emailed briefly the guy who was involved in that. Has he gotten back to you yet?
No, he actually hasn't, but I'm going to, like, spam him with, like, 20 messages. Because, like, I know that he's on Facebook. Like, he keeps posting, you know, like, oh, we got, like, BBS Racing, the sponsor, which is actually a pretty big, it started out as a car group, and then it, like, grew into, like, car parts and stuff, and they actually sponsor a lot of big races. So I know that he is on Facebook, and I know that he can read my messages. He's just not replying. So I'm going to send him, like, 50 messages and be like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm not going to come to your event if you're going to blow me off. Just joking, I'm still going to go, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Rolex 24 this weekend. It should be a really good race, and hopefully it'll set the stage for a good season in the WeatherTech Championship Series. This is their first year with the WeatherTech sponsorship. We had contacted one of the women who's been on the program before, April Rose, who is one of the WeatherTech girls, on possibly being on the program. And she is actually really busy with MTV this weekend. So look for her to be on MTV's coverage of the Rolex 24 Daytona. I don't know exactly how much coverage they're going to provide, but I know she's working with them this weekend. Hopefully she has a good time out there. Hopefully she didn't melt. As I said, and as Kenton said, the weather there was a little bit insane today. And I'm really happy that I wasn't up there for the qualifying. That's a little bit too much rain. The woman we're going to have now, on next week, Vicki Miller, she probably was hanging out in the rain all day there in Daytona. She'll also be at the track tomorrow. I think she's probably been there for a few days already. And next week she's going to be on the program. So that should be pretty cool. She's a quite an interesting character, and it'll be awesome to talk to her next week. We're also working on a few other possible guests for the next few weeks. We're hoping to bring on some more people from the National Hot Rod Association. They're getting ready for their race in Pomona, which takes place in I think, like 2 or 3 weeks. So hopefully it'll be a good racing season. It'll be a long season, but we're looking forward to it here at Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, and looking forward to bringing you some insights into the different racing series. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. This week, we focused on these articles previewing the Rolex 24, as well as information regarding the Monterey, Supercross, and more, so be sure to check it out. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeach.happeningmag.com.
And we look forward to seeing you again on January 28th in the Thunderdome, when we will welcome racing maven Vicky Miller to review the Rolex 24 at Daytona.
Thank you again, and have a nice evening.